you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 147 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, once again. Today, my guest is DK Raymer. DK is one of the founders, or the founder, of a company called Confident Aging. And this is a program that assists attorneys with communication challenges that, you know, very often accompany their work with seniors. And she comes by that as a result of her advocacy on behalf of seniors and the writing that she has done in developing, amongst a number of things, guides for healthcare consumers that focus on the topics of living independently and preserving family dynamics with aging parents and all the kinds of things that estate planners and elder law attorneys in particular, but really all of us as individuals deal with respect to growing older. And I thought this would be a great time to have somebody like DK on the show. And I hope you enjoy our discussion as much as I did in having it. So here is DK Raymer. DK Raymer, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I am thrilled that you're able to join us today. DK, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I always start by telling people, especially attorneys, that I am not an attorney. I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV.
Well, that puts you ahead of the game then.
Yeah, really. I probably know your clients better than you do. And I'll explain that a little bit. My background is eclectic. I spent 30 years in the entertainment industry, both in publishing and in the content creation of TV shows and films, mostly for the family audience. So that's what I did. I worked with a top intellectual property attorney on and off for 25 years in developing properties. And my forte was in identifying the audience for an idea and then fully fleshing that out so that you could exploit the property and, you know, to its fullest extent and make nice money for the, not only for the owner of the property, but have it meet the needs of the audience so that it either met a need or a desire, something that they wanted. So it was useful and brought them joy.
Sure.
So I did that for years, loved it, just loved it. I loved crawling inside the mechanics of who wants this, what are their needs, what are their desires, how can I help meet that? And then had an incident happen and had a career flip and got into patient protections advocacy, which is completely the opposite and very dark work. And there I worked a lot with families who had been hurt or injured in the healthcare system, and you know, there's not a lot you can do there. So, but I transitioned a little bit from there and began working with families and seniors who needed to make transitions in the way they were living after a medical event or something, you know, just the process of aging. And I began working with a home modification company on how you can refit and retool a home. I learned a ton, just about met lots and lots and lots of people and learned their needs, the things they were afraid of inside out. So that's kind of my background. I pulled my marketing background together and used those pieces along with what I'd learned with advocacy. And then about 5 years ago, I became the program director. Like, I didn't have enough to do already. I still write. I write novels and I'm a multi-published novelist. I began working with Laura Newman, who owns 0-60 performance coaching out here in the Midwest. And she has clients across the country and in three other countries. And she had a fair number of estate planning and elder law attorneys. And I joined the team as her program director. We went to a conference of estate planning and elder law attorneys. We actually went to two conferences back to back. And that's how I was introduced to this market, you know, the mostly solos. And just their challenges. And I, of course, every time I meet a new group of people, I always immerse myself in their marketing. So I attended their workshops and became familiar with that.
Well, it sounds like you kind of rolled over from the entertainment industry into patient protection right about the time that there was a big surge of folks coming of age who needed that kind of service with the aging baby boomer parents population.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. I suspect that kind of ties in with that time frame, and the whole pathway to healthcare and to health services for the aging became so complex and so convoluted that regular folk were having difficulty navigating it.
Exactly. Yeah, the healthcare industry changed. Boomers changed. They completely broke the mold on what it means to age. And so none of that matches anymore. Nothing meshes. So it's, you know, it's kind of the Wild West. Aging in America is the Wild West now. So
And there's just such a bigger market. If you look at that as a market,
yes.
Because for a number of reasons, I mean, one, just population-wise, there's a bigger footprint. And then secondarily, advances in medicine have allowed us to age longer, live longer. And while that is great on one end of the spectrum, sometimes it doesn't make for the greatest quality of life. And so the challenges for patient protection become more acute.
One of the challenges I've seen for families is, you know, it's the fear of what do we do if the worst thing happens? We don't want to face that fear. Obviously, nobody wants to face that fear.
Right.
How do we age and do it on our terms? Because, you know, the healthcare industry, the insurance industry and the government are very, very good, and big pharma are very good at painting a picture of what our lives are going to play out like. And that's where the advertising goes. So, you know, you hit a certain age, you're going to need all these drugs. And then, oh, now you need to go to assisted living. And here's the nursing home. The government doesn't want to pay for that. So, and here we are going, boy, that just does not look like a future that I want any part of. We're so youth-driven. Our culture's so youth-driven. And we tell everyone early on, your possibilities are endless. You know, you can craft your own future. And then suddenly you hit like 55 and 50 even. 50 is the prime age AARP pops up and goes, you know, oh, you're our member now. and suddenly your mailbox is filled with all this stuff from, you know, hearing aid companies and incontinence needs. And I mean, it's horrible. It's like we've gone to Disneyland. We've been told life is Disneyland. We can create our own stuff. And then Disney created a new section of the park called Aging in America, and they hired Wes Craven to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's horrible.
Well, as somebody who just celebrated a significant birthday day before yesterday, I can completely attest to that fact, that how the advertising that was reaching me through Facebook and other online platforms dramatically shifted. So
yeah.
I have all that being thrown at me, and I'm inundated with it. So it's interesting, because I think as a content provider, you know, a lot of people are in the space that you're in, but very few come actually from the patient protection and healthcare side of it. I mean, a lot of folks come from the legal side, the attorney side, servicing that clientele, but very few have actually come from the working in the trenches, you know, with the home modification and medical service providers and the type of environment that you come from. I believe that gives you a pretty unique perspective.
It does give me a neat perspective. I see things, I'm trained to see things that other people don't see. You know, that's, I have that ability and I've always done that. But in this arena, I'm able to offer a completely different view of your client and what's going on in their lives. And so basically, you know, I've dealt with thousands of clients over the last dozen years, because I've done this 12 years now. And they basically have about 12 recurring fears. Everybody kind of faces and goes through that point. And so that's, they play out a little differently in every family. Honestly, the only thing that changes about the fear and the situation is the cast of characters. And by that, I mean the family members. Do they have family? How many are in there? You know, there's always a crazy aunt or two in the closet, or a kid that you can't trust with the money, and all of those things, you know, that you as lawyers already know about. They've already opened the closet and you know their deep, dark secrets. So that's an easy piece. There aren't any more scary bits that are going to creep out at you. So all of your clients are going to encounter over the course of time the same 10 or 12 fears. And that's what I help you address. I think maybe one of the worst things I've seen, this is the big piece. I remember going to the two conferences and sitting in the marketing and going, I looked in these guys were working, they're knocking themselves out, and they're just spending a fortune every month on marketing, and they were doing the same thing over and over again, trotting the same messages out and just hoping and praying for a better result. And I felt bad, and I was like, boy, I remember leaving the conference and I looked at Laura and I said, you know, if these guys knew what I know about their clients, they would never struggle to get clients again. And she looked at me and she said, well, can you teach them?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very real.
Yeah, they probably could. Yeah.
I think that's a very real problem for us in the legal space, because, you know, one part of the, you know, marketing approach is to make sure that when the client goes looking for an attorney, they find you. So that's one part of the equation, and that's a more of a mechanical, more of a technical kind of issue. But making sure that when they do find you, that you're speaking to their problems or their concerns or their needs, that's a different issue. And it's challenging for attorneys sometimes, because we're always thinking on the legal side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want a power of attorney because it protects you in this regard, or you want a will because you want to make sure that you make the decisions. But it doesn't meet that client at their visceral level, the thing that keeps them up and awake at night. And I think that's the sweet spot that you look to address.
Yeah. The big secret here is most of the attorneys that I see in this arena are marketing to the 5%. And by that, I mean the data that I look at in what I do in patient protections comes from the government. And this particular piece of data comes from the U.S. Census Office. In the last census, only roughly 5.1% of the U.S. population in their lifetime, at any one time, is going to need to move to an assisted living facility, a group home, a nursing home, some sort of institutional care piece. And of that number, only 3.4, I think, percent, it fluctuates a little bit, actually go to a nursing home. And of that number, half of those people are over the age of 90. Yeah. So when you market to a scenario that 95% of the population is never going to need to face, you know, they may bounce in and out of a rehab center if they've fallen and they need some rehab, but they'll be able to go home. So if you're painting a scenario by which everything is doom and gloom, they're going to repel you. I mean, they're just, it's a knee-jerk reaction. You repel clients at a cellular level when you don't give them any hope. So, you know, I'm always quick to say, look, the guys who peddle colonoscopies have a higher success rate in attracting clients than an attorney who's trying to sell wills. And the reason is because it's pretty simple. A colonoscopy, as unpleasant as it is, offers at least the hope of a longer life. And when you're advertising wills, you're talking about life after they're gone. It's a future without them in it. And in a time, you know, when they're off world, you know, they move off world and they're not here any longer. And most people just viscerally reject that.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. Spotlight Branding, helping lawyers become unforgettable. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. Yeah, and I think it manifests itself. We as attorneys often think, well, it's just procrastination. We just, the challenge is to motivate the potential client to actually take action. When in point of fact, the challenge is to make sure that your messaging is coherent with their concerns.
Exactly. They have other needs while they're here that you could certainly help them with, and they do want that information. I've talked to, you know, hundreds of people in this boat, and I always ask, why, you know, do you have, I always had a group of at least 30 referral sources to make sure that all of my clients had all of their needs met, no matter what it was, I had it covered. And one of those was always an attorney. And I said, do you have an attorney? And without question, I'm going to say 85 to 90% of the people that I worked with said no. And I said, why not? I always wanted to know why, because that's just a fundamental piece, right? You know, to get your affairs in order. And this is the patent answer. They're only interested in my money. And they would follow that up with some horrible story about either them personally or a friend who contacted an attorney, and it was always a bad will, you know, something that was contested, and which reinforced the belief that they're only interested in my money. And you got to remember, they're not, when they come to you, they're not looking at you to hire a lawyer. They're hiring a family member. You know, when they can't rely on a family member or, you know, their own dynamics are bad, they're looking for someone who's going to be with them over the long haul. So they really are adding a member of the family to their team. And I don't think most attorneys realize that. I don't care what field you're in, you're going to be a family member. They'll return to you if they trust you.
And that's the most important part, is to develop that relationship to the mm-hmm. point where there is that level of trust. So let's talk about your company, Confident Aging. Armed with all this knowledge of the grassroots understanding of the marketplace, you know, how does that translate into the services that you offer to your clients now, your attorney clients?
Well, it's pretty simple. I have developed training. It's a hands-on training. You work with me directly, and I teach you to develop your own list of 9 presentations over the course of a year that your clients are really interested in, that they will come to, that have nothing to do with the core of what you do, which is making a will or doing power of attorney. They complement your services, but they don't speak about that.
Give us an example of a typical presentation that is complementary but isn't focused on educating the process of estate planning itself.
Okay. So we just wrapped up a month-long training series for my current attorneys, and in which I trained them to offer a do-it-yourself workshop for in-home fall prevention.
Yeah.
And they can roll that out in a number of ways. I've got one attorney that's going to do a presentation that's skewed to all women and have some fun with that around Valentine's Day and change some refreshments. And, you bring in whatever help they need, whether it's a contractor or someone in home mobility. At the same time that I'm training to do the presentations, I'm also building them a Rockstar referral network locally. So basically, we're going to deal with some aspect of one of those 12 needs every month or so, train them to do the presentation, make it tie in so that they can offer a service or have a specific call to action for their clients. And the presentations can be used to either nurture their own client base, because let's face it, your very best referral source are happy clients that you already have. They'll bring friends if they believe and trust in you. So we nurture the current client base. We use it to gain new clients. We push it out into additional markets for publicity. Some of that is some of those presentations can be used to get you in front of corporations or like universities who are looking to supplement their own workforce in the area of wellness. So those are wellness programs. They're looking for presentations there where you could never walk in. They would reject you at the door to come in and talk about developing a will. They will have you come in and address something about how to spot and how to deal with the first signs that your parent needs help at home. That they'll gladly do.
I think this is just so important. Look, right now, you are focused on, and we're talking about elder law and estate planning, but the same concept is true for, any legal services area that attorneys are practicing. Sometimes it's a lot better to talk about the problems or be able to present, say, an educational program on the problems that your ideal client base faces that maybe isn't necessarily exactly what you're doing.
Like, right.
You can educate all you want about powers of attorney and wills and the like. But as you have pointed out, I guarantee the more people are interested in how to modify your home to protect against the elderly falling, or mm-hmm. I tell you what's really important, I don't know if this is on your list, but it's really important around here, is how to help keep your parents from being scammed on the internet.
Exactly. Senior crime, losing the car keys. And, the government messages all of these things out, but it's always in such a negative way. So we turn these around so that there's positive, that your clients have choices and they stay in control. So a lot of what we do is about banishing fear. And if you're the person who can empower clients to take control of their own lives and feel like they're not on that Wes Craven ride to, a bad ending and an eternity of, who knows what. You're a rock star for them. You're their hero. You become their hero.
All right. So one of the services that you're providing is helping attorneys develop these presentations and what have you that are tangentially related to the area of practice that they're participating in, and along the way create this killer referral network locally of people who can help support those activities. Yep. What are some of the other things that Confident Aging does?
One of the things I still do for clients in any arena, not just limited to elder law and estate planning, is the branding work. I do all of Laura Newman's branding for her clients, and we also do. And by branding, I don't mean these are my colors. This is my business card, and this is my logo.
You're talking about messaging.
Yes, messaging. It's more than just messaging. Okay. At its core, all good brands do one thing, and it's not about, it's not just about the look or a killer tagline. A great brand is the promise of an experience. So helping business owners develop that and build a basic expectation. This is how anyone who comes through your door can expect these things from you. So, for instance, if I say to you the word McDonald's, you're going to mentally, you already flash an image. They're going to have the best French fries in the world and great fountain Cokes. But most of the employees are going to be young, and you're going to have probably maybe some lousy service, and it's going to be crowded and the tables are going to be dirty and it's going to be filled with screaming kids. And if I say to you Harley Davidson, another image comes to mind of the kind of people, it's the experience. Mm-hmm. It's about the experience and what the expectation is. Most people never, ever, ever grasp that about what they do. And especially people working in the legal field, there's such a wall between you and the public. And if I can help you, bridge that gap and give people a way to connect with you, that's a plus for anybody working in the legal field.
Yeah, I think that branding question is really tough for attorneys, and particularly solo and small firm attorneys. Because, look, if you join big law, there's a certain feel, there's a certain brand image that big law has. And when people think of going to that attorney, they have that experience and that's what they see and that's what they remember. But when they come to a solo practitioner who is working from a virtual office space or meeting clients in the law library, it's harder to establish that brand.
Exactly. So I do a lot of work with those folks too in those areas. I love the branding work. The branding.
So what are some of the challenges you see and that you help attorneys overcome, the small ones that don't have that kind of corporate physical image that they can project as their brand?
What are the pluses? What are the pluses? What are the advantages of dealing with you as opposed to going to a large house? Pointing out that smaller, in this case, smaller is better. Smaller is rock star service. Listen, medicine is going that way too. There's a new wave of medicine going with concierge service, and that's great. So promoting concierge care, promoting what it is that you love to do, offering some neat little ways that they don't need much to feel special. There are lots of little ways we can intersect with clients that make them feel like you really care about them as a human being, and that they're not a number. They're just not a number.
I'll give you an example from my own experience, and one that I struggled with, frankly, when I when I became a solo, or actually more so when I transitioned to doing estate planning as opposed to litigation, I stopped wearing a coat and tie. Mm-hmm. And I was concerned about that because of the brand image that it projected to potential clients. And what I found is that for the clients that I was servicing, that informal kind of more homey, casual appearance was actually supportive of the brand I was trying to achieve and the client I was trying to work with. So it's that kind of statement, I think, that you're speaking to.
Yeah. The other part is that I see a lot of attorneys make this mistake. If you ask them who their ideal client is, they'll give you, you know, they'll say a statement like someone who lives in this zip code, and they'll give you two or three, or this neighborhood or this development that has more than this, you know, $2 million in assets. And none of that is identifies the niche. None of that does. So, you know, again, they're looking at some sort of a demographic or a statistic that has nothing to do with the people behind it. So helping them connect with people and take them out of that legal think into the people think is huge. It's a big part of the branding process.
Sure. Sure. Well, where do you see Confident Agent going here in the future and in your own growth? What are you kind of looking to do going forward?
My big goal, bottom line, is I would love for this program to change the way that we age in the United States. I mean, it's a big, bold statement, but I think that it wouldn't take that many attorneys to empower that many older Americans so that they understand that they don't have to take the limited range of options that are presented to them by the healthcare system and the insurance company. Right. Well, now they're trapped in, and they think they're trapped in those two options.
You know, We know it's an issue, and we know that there's lots of attorneys trying to help solve the issue. I love the approach that you take, you know, coming from the client-centered viewpoint and what their needs are, and kind of using that to drive growth in the legal space. I think that's really the key to success.
Yeah, the program offers you opportunities too. It's not just, oh, this is so boring. It, you know, you actually do get to know people. You get to know your clients better, and they're fun. You know, many of the programs are fun. You know, you're going to be out meeting new businesses that you had no idea were, you know, were trying to address your clients, but with a completely different service. There's a lot of exploration and quite a lot of fun in it. So again, much of what we do for old people is to remove the fun. And we do that with the attorneys that work with them too. So I would like there to be some joy in the work.
Well, that's always good. And Lord knows that attorneys could use a little more fun and humor in our lives, you know? DK, listen, I really enjoyed this. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Tell our audience how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up or maybe pick your brain on another area that we haven't covered.
Sure. My email address is DK, two initials, D as in dog, K as in kangaroo, at confidentagingforattorneys.com. I'm over on LinkedIn under the name DK Raymer. Anything else? Is there another way that you...
That's usually pretty typical for attorneys. Good. We'll make sure that all of that are in the show notes so that our listeners can follow up with you. And again, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. Wish you all the best, and let's stay in touch.
I appreciate it, Neil. It was my pleasure. I had a wonderful time.
Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur, Ruby Receptionists. They, along with our old friends at Spotlight Branding, as well as Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, are the ones that make this podcast possible, and for them, I am very grateful. So please be sure to visit their websites. You can find the locations in the show notes for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur, or you can go to our website, thelawentrepreneur.com, and navigate to the resources page, and there you can find a way to get to each of their websites. So please visit their websites, sign on as clients. I'm a client now of all three, and I think you'll be happy you did so. So that's Ruby Receptionists, Spotlight Branding, and Market Circle, the makers of Daylight.